Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I'm going to read from the New Translation, a passage that you'll be familiar with, but again, just listen because it'll come across with a freshness when you listen to it in a different translation. I pray that out of his glorious riches, you will be strengthened with power by the working of his Spirit in your inmost being. This is so that you will know the presence of Christ in your hearts because of your faith in him. I also pray that your lives will be deeply rooted in his love, that you will be so steadfast in this love that, like all those who believe in Jesus and who are set apart for his purposes as his saints, you will be able to comprehend something of the amazing extent of Christ's love. This love seems boundless and unlimited, and through that love, you can be filled to the fullest extent with God himself. He is able to do so much more than all you would ever dare to ask him or even imagine that he would give you through his power that he has already placed within you. So let his glory be revealed in the church, and let those who belong to him live to give him glory. Yes, believers of every successive generation forever. Amen, it shall be so. Amen. Amen. This amazing love. It's unlimited. It's boundless. And the amazing thing is that God has put this love into us. Paul says he has poured it into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And everything that God wants to do in the lives of his people and everything that he wants to do through their lives will be done in love and through love. You've heard me talk about times of genuine revival that I've known and places where I've been, and I've said that always where there is true revival of the church, it's not just revival in healing that God wants, it's revival of the church, that there is always this amazing love, this love for God, this awareness of God's love for us, and an amazing love for other people, for one another, and for those that are in the world. Everything is in love. The faith is there, of course, but it really is faith in love. It's love of an order that only the Holy Spirit can bring about within the lives of God's people. And we have a measure of that love in our lives and in this church, but God wants to see much more of that love in the coming weeks and months. Can anybody say amen to that? He wants, therefore, to give us an even greater revelation of his love. I was tempted this morning, instead of preaching, just to read the rest of Ephesians to you because it's a sermon in itself. It really speaks about how this love is to be outworked in our lives. But this really is a continuation of what God has been saying to us in the last few weeks, pre-camp, during camp, post-camp, as we've been focusing on this truth of Christ being in us. Now, God is love. Christ is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Therefore, that love is within us. We do not lack that love. We have that love. So it's a question of seeing more and more of that love released and expressed in our lives. It is a question of not I, but Christ in me. Because in our natural selves, that love does not exist, not God's love. There's a human love, but it's of an altogether much weaker, lesser capacity than the love of God. And in our self-life, there is the desire to be selfish. There's a propensity to be proud and to be self-seeking and not to want too much cost, not to be challenged too greatly. That's the nature of the flesh. And the nature of the flesh will never change. That's why God's purpose is not to change you, but to exchange you, to put the life of Christ in you so that despite your weakness, His life, His love, His power, His strength can be expressed in your life. And somebody thought, hallelujah, and it would be good to say it. Amen. It's wonderful that it's not I, but Christ. I've had a very dramatic, for me anyway, a very dramatic opportunity to see that outworked in my life this past week. I told you last week that I was speaking at this French conference in Germany. It was held in the German conference center, but five members from five French churches came together for this conference. And I was, believe it or not, speaking on Christ in you. And we had a very, very powerful time. Lives were being gloriously transformed. And, you know, they're sort of the most rebellious of the teenagers that was there. Just you saw her life just turned completely around. And it was wonderful what God was doing. And the healings, there were so many healings. Of course, when you have a smaller conference, not thousands of people, but just under 100 people there, you see exactly what is going on and what isn't going on. And, you know, it's not like a big crowd where somebody's bound to get healed. You've actually got to see the things being outworked in the people there. And there was one major miracle after another that was taking place, long-standing things, medically incurable things. And it was just by showing people how to pray for one another, how to minister to one another. It was very, very powerful. And we had 3 days of this where the revelation was changing lives, where the power of God was healing people. Then early on Thursday morning, I was taken ill. I mean, I was really ill. And I was the only speaker at this jolly conference. So here was a good challenge to faith, because the accommodation was, I suppose, about 500 yards walk from the meeting hall. And I didn't know how I was going to get there, let alone speak. So we prayed, of course, Caroline and I, and she said, as we were going over there, so she said, "Well, how are you doing?" I said, "Every step is a step of faith," because it was. When I got there, they just started the worship. I just sat in the chair, and I felt even worse after that walk. And I thought, I don't know how I can even stand up. So I thought, well, I've never opted out of speaking ever before in the whole of my life. But I don't know that I can actually make this. I was praying like fun, and then I thought, well, Caroline can give her testimony. And then Caroline went out to the washroom. And while she was still out in the washroom, it was my turn to preach. So I stood up and you know, it's amazing what happens under the anointing. The anointing came down, and as I spoke, and I had to speak in all that morning for about 2.5 hours, I just got stronger and stronger and stronger. Praise God. And then when I finished, I just collapsed again. It's amazing how, you know, it was not I, but Christ. And of course, everybody could see this happening. And the strange thing was, all this healing happening, and now everybody was praying for me. I mean, I couldn't move without somebody laying hands on me and saying, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." And I said, "Yes, Lord," the way I was feeling. And the same thing happened in the revelation of something from God. You focus on it. you get the Word of God, you get the Scriptures, and your concordance, and you see all that the Scripture says about that subject. You work your way through the Scriptures, what God says about His love, what He has done for you in love, the way in which He holds you in that love, the way in which He will reveal Himself to you through that love. There aren't any shortcuts. You can listen to somebody else preach who's done all that, but you yourself want to come into a greater revelation of God's love. But it's not just by reading the Word and listening to what God is saying. It's then interpreting that Word into the circumstances of your life and saying, well, if this is what God says about His love, then this is what I am going to do in love. This is what I'm going to believe. This is what I'm going to speak over my life. This is what I'm going to speak over the lives of others around me. And this is what I'm going to do. And then it will have very practical ramifications on the way you live. And that's where people will see the love. People will see the love not actually by just what you say, but they will see the love in the way you live. Amen? That's a great challenge to us, isn't it? That people will see the love, see that there's something different about us because there's a different quality of love. As you know, in doing this new translation of the New Testament, all kinds of things have come home to me. One is that I wish there weren't chapters because they interrupt the flow. You see, I stopped at the end of a chapter, chapter 3 of Ephesians. But actually, Paul didn't write it in chapters. And to really understand what he's saying in that prayer, we need to read on. So I'm just going to read on for a little while. You see, immediately after that amen at the end of the prayer, he says, I am a prisoner for the Lord's sake, and I encourage you to live in a way that is worthy of this great calling you have received from Him. You see, he prays for this love. He prays for the faith to be active in their hearts. And he says, right now, what I'm concerned about then is to see the practical ramifications of this in the way you live. And so he continues, this involves remaining humble and gentle, being patient and sensitive to the needs of others out of your love for them. Do everything you can to maintain the unity you have with other believers in the power of the Spirit by remaining at peace with them. And there is one body of Christ and only one Holy Spirit, and we all share in the one hope to which we were called in Christ. There is only one Lord, and we all share in the same faith in Him. There is only one baptism into Christ, only one God and Father of us all. He is over all of us, He works through all of us, and His life is in all of us. Amen. Yet at the same time, now, I want you to take particular notice of this, because this is, I believe, a word that God really wants to speak to us this morning. Yet at the same time, each one of us is given the particular grace we need to fulfill our calling. And it is Christ Himself who imparts this grace to us. This is why we can understand from what was written years ago that when He ascended back to heaven, He led a procession of those who had formerly been captives and gave gifts to those who were to continue to the work of His kingdom here on earth. We need to understand that before He ascended to heaven, Christ first descended to where the souls were kept waiting for the release He alone could give. Yes, He who descended there to free them is the same Lord who ascended to the highest place in heaven so that the whole universe could be filled with His glory. And He's the one that now lives in us by that glory, by that victory, by that deliverance that He has brought. So this same Lord Jesus appointed some of those who belonged to him to be apostles responsible for the ordering of his church, others to be those through whom he would speak prophetically to his people. Some were anointed to be evangelists who would reap a harvest of souls for God's kingdom. Others he made pastors with hearts of love and compassion to care for his people. Still others he made teachers, those who live his word and can enable others to do likewise. All these various ministries have a common purpose. They are to prepare God's people to serve him, happily doing the works God prepared for them. Now, Paul says elsewhere, doesn't he, that God has prepared the works for us to walk in. Yes? So the fivefold ministry is there to prepare us to do happily, to do joyfully those things that God has prepared for us. This is what will enable the body of Christ to be built up in the way he desires and will bring people into unity in their faith, sharing in a common knowledge and experience of God's Son. Having servant hearts shows that people are mature in their life in Christ and that they are able to enjoy everything God has made available to us in him, the fullness of his life that he came to impart to us. Those who are mature in this way will no longer be like immature toddlers, easily swayed and pulled this way and that. They will not be like corks bobbing about on the sea or like falling leaves that are at the mercy of any wind that blows them around. Immature people are like that because they do not have a grasp of the truth of God's word. So they are easily swayed by the latest fashion in spiritual teaching. They are deceived by those who want to manipulate and use them and their money for their own ends. The mature are not like that. They speak the truth to others out of love for them and therefore in a loving way. They are believers who keep growing in their faith, becoming more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body to which they belong. From him, the head, the whole body is drawn together in unity. Every part is to fulfill its function in love for the health of the whole body. And this is accomplished by each fulfilling the work Christ has appointed for him or her. Now, you see, the health of the body, therefore, depends upon you. The health of the body depends upon every single member fulfilling the particular tasks appointed by God for that particular individual. There are no passengers in the body of Christ, but God has called us into his body. He's given us different giftings, different, if you like, types of anointing, different calls, different ministries within that one body. I won't spend time going on reading, but what Paul says later is that, you know, we mustn't desire the gift or the ministry that someone else has to be used in the way that someone else is being used, but to be faithful to that which God is calling us to do. God gives us position and function within the body of Christ. Ian Andrews spoke a very, very important message on the last morning of camp, on the Friday morning, his last session, because he was talking about the fact that if we're going to see the power of God released in our lives, then we pray out of the position that God has given us within the body. And he went through a whole series of things, if you were there. He showed the apostolic authority and how that affects not only healing, but the way God wants to work through an apostle. The prophetic authority, the prophetic anointing carries an authority of its own. And so with all the other, the evangelistic authority and so on. Right down to the believer and the authority the believer has. And what he was really saying is that when we are given responsibility in the church, we are responsible to God to ensure that what we are doing with that responsibility is done in faith and in love. It's It's wonderful to have responsibility or to be given responsibility, because all authority in the body of Christ is delegated from God and down through the leadership and so on. So when you receive delegated authority, you are responsible to those who have given it to you. But ultimately, your responsibility is to God to say, yes, I am fulfilling this responsibility that God has given me by faith. Now, that is first, that must be the first thing, by faith. Faith is operating in what I'm doing. And then, of course, the faith has to work through love. But whatever you're doing, whatever your function, whatever it may be, it has to be done in faith. And that faith has to operate through love. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, Ian Andrews was applying this particularly to healing and so on. He was saying that, you know, if a husband is praying for the wife, he shouldn't pray as the husband, but he should pray as the priest of the family, the position that God has given him spiritually in the family, because that's where his spiritual authority comes from. Right? And we had lunch together, the two of us, after, and we, you know, we talked to this, and I said, you know, the principle that you are outlining applies not only to healing, but I believe to every area of the church's life and ministry. And we had a very fruitful, very powerful, actually, conversation together for, I suppose, the better part of an hour. Just unpacking this and seeing how true to Scripture it really is. So that if you have responsibility for any area, whatever God has given you within the body of Christ, you are responsible to Him to make sure that faith in love is actually operating through you in that function. Now, that's true whether you're a life group leader, whatever position you're in, whatever ministry responsibility, whether you're working with children, whether you're working with youth, whatever you're doing, whether it's finances, whether it's some other practical area of the church's life, you have to function by faith in love for the purposes of God to be fulfilled and for the body to prosper. Because, you see, what Paul is saying here is if you don't fulfill that responsibility, the whole body will suffer. Can you understand? That if God gives you a responsibility, it's so that you will fulfill that responsibility, because the Christ in you will work through you to enable that responsibility to be fulfilled in the best possible way. And if it isn't, then the body is going to suffer because nobody else has been given that responsibility except you and perhaps the group of people involved with you in that. Hello? So you can see where, in any church, you can see what areas of that church are really prospering. And you can see where there are difficulties. I mean, every church has its strengths and weaknesses, but you can always see, right, now where the strength is where people are applying that faith through love. Are you getting it? Where the weakness is, there isn't that same faith and love. Hello? Now, not everybody can have faith for everything. This is what Paul is saying. Therefore, it's imperative that all of us fulfill the responsibility that God has given us. That's our, if you like, that's our niche. That's the part of the body that you have the responsibility to see is healthy, so that the whole body can be healthy. So if everybody is fulfilling their functions in that way, their responsibilities in that way, then the whole body will be healthy and all the functions of that body will be effective. Are you with me? So the key word in all this is responsibility. Love brings responsibilities. We have this amazing love that God has given us, but that love brings with it responsibilities. You have love for your children, but having children brings responsibilities. You have love for your husband or your wife. Being married brings responsibilities. And you can't expect others to be responsible for your children because they're your children. They're what God has given you. Amen? You can have others pray for your husband or your wife, but they're not responsible for them in the way that you are. We could go on to see how Paul says, you know, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. It's all a continuation of the same argument. The same theme that goes all the way through this epistle. So we have to exercise that responsibility that God has, and we have to do it in love. Now, the faith working through love. Therefore, we have to be sure, right, I am in a place of faith to believe that in this area of responsibility God has given me, faith is going to operate. I'm going to trust the Christ in me, and the Christ in me is going to work through me, and God is going to do supernatural things. We're not just dependent upon the natural, but His supernatural life is going to impact this area of responsibility that He's given me. Now, that responsibility is not just for leadership, it's for every member of the body. So you are in a life group. Listen to me. You are responsible, not just the leader, but you are responsible for the other people in that life group. And you are failing in your responsibility if you don't go, if you don't participate. Are you there? Because God says, look, I've made you a part of that group. That is where you have been put. Now you have a mutual responsibility one for another. You are to believe together. You are to exercise love together. That love is to flow out of your lives. It's to bind you together into the unity for which Jesus prayed. Do we have any believers here this morning? I'm not talking to myself, am I? You see, this is to see the body functioning as a body. That love brings responsibility. You can't opt out. You've heard me say independence is the worst sin in the Bible. God can't say, you can't say, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to be in a group. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. God puts you where He wants you, in a life group, in a ministry group, wherever, whatever. There's a new service going to begin in mid-September on Sunday evenings, aimed more at the younger people. That's younger than me. A lot younger than me. It's up to, I think, about 30s or so, 25, 30. There's a group of people that Pastor Clive set aside to have the responsibility for that service. Now, it is not beyond the competence of most individuals to be able to sit round a table and decide what they're going to do in organizing a service. But if the group of people involved had done that, they would have completely failed in the call of God. Because you see, what God has done through Pastor Clive, because he was the one that has put this group of people in position. He got, there's about half a dozen, I think, of younger people in their 20s that are responsible for this service. And that is the key, is made them responsible for it. So they have been meeting, they have been praying, they have been, for weeks. My secretary, Karen, is one of them, so I know when she's missing, it's another prayer meeting for this jolly Sunday evening service or something that's going on. But you see, it's faith and love. Because without the faith and love, it'll just be another service. But the whole vision is to reach young people. We want a new move of God among the younger people in the church and the younger people in our community. Amen? And, you know, this is a time of change because there's a change of personnel with, in lots of ways with the people that have involved with in the leadership of the young people. It's like a new beginning for them. So there's been so much prayer, so much preparation. Why? Because that small group of people feel the responsibility. And they realize that they are responsible to God. Yes, to Pastor Clive at the natural level, but ultimately to God, if that service is to be a success, if it is to fulfill its objectives. And you see, to fulfill our objectives, we need to be people of prayer, we need to be people of faith, we need to be people of love. Are you understanding? It's just how you go about doing what it is that God is calling you to do. Being responsible. Not to pray is irresponsible. Not to believe makes you relatively useless. Not to exercise faith in your area of responsibility, because that area will not prosper without the faith. But neither will it be fruitful without the love. Amen? Amen. Now we must draw to a close because we try not to be too long in August with the kids here. Now, what does this say to you in practice? Well, first of all, you have to be mindful, aware of what your responsibilities are within the body. You can't be part of this church without having responsibility. You can't be a Christian without having responsibility. You have responsibility to those that God has put immediately around you. You have responsibility in whatever function God has given you, whatever area of ministry God is using you. So the real question is, are you fulfilling that responsibility? Not in a natural way, but in a spiritual way. Christ in you. In other words, do you have a faith perspective for those responsibilities? Do you have a love heart for those responsibilities? Is this making sense to you? Because if those twin things of faith and love are actually the motivation in your activity in the body of Christ, God will be glorified because those activities will be fruitful. And it's no use us just wanting to meet with God in the glory when we're worshiping Him. But we want to actually experience God being glorified in the way we fulfill our responsibilities. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
So let me just finish with a little bit more from the Word. Now I will tell you something so important that I insist in the Lord's name that you respond to what I say. You must no longer live in the way that those who belong to the world live. Worldly thinking is futile. Worldly people live in spiritual darkness without understanding God's purposes. They do not possess His life and they remain in ignorance. Because their hearts are hardened, they resist the truth of the gospel. They have no spiritual sensitivity because of the way they indulge their sensual appetites. So they indulge themselves in pleasing their flesh, their natural desires, in all kinds of impurity. They are never satisfied, but continually lust after ways that are even more ungodly. You never came to know Christ by living in such ways. No, you heard about him when you were taught the truth of the gospel, for the truth is only to be found in Jesus. As far as your former way of life is concerned, you were taught from the very beginning to put off the old sinful nature, that old self that was corrupted by its deceitful desires. Instead, you were made new with a totally different mindset, and you made the decision to put on the new life, which enables you to become what God wants you to be, living in ways that are right in his eyes, being his holy people, set apart from the world to live the life of his kingdom here on earth. So it is essential that each of you rid yourselves completely of everything that is false and instead speak truthfully to others. For we are all members of the one body of Christ, a body of truth. It is said, even if you are angry, do not sin. Do not hold on to your anger. Be rid of it before the end of the day. Otherwise, you could give the devil a foothold to take advantage of you. Anyone who used to steal in his old life must, of course, no longer steal. Instead, he must have a proper job working for his living by doing something useful with his hands. Then instead of taking, he will have something to give to needy people. Do not speak in an impure or critical way. Instead of mouthing unclean or negative things, speak in a way that will encourage and benefit others because you are addressing their needs. And do not grieve God's Holy Spirit in any way. Remember that you have had the seal of the Spirit placed on you to keep you walking in God's ways until the day when he takes you to be with himself. Rid yourself of every negative thing, being bitter in your attitudes, being angry and resentful. Do not get into disputes with others, especially physical ones. Do not slander others or have any malicious attitudes towards them. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, always ready to forgive in the same way that through Christ, God has always been willing to forgive you. Therefore, because you are his dearly loved children, seek to be like God your Father. Live a life full of love. Christ has commanded us to love others as he has loved us by giving his life in sacrifice for us, an offering to God that was totally pleasing to him. To live in such love means that there must not be any sexual immorality among you, nor any kind of impurity in your hearts. There is to be no greed. You see, all these things are totally out of order for people who belong to God, his holy people. You should be careful how you use your mouths, so you do not speak in any obscene or foolish way, and you avoid all jokes with improper innuendos. All these things are so out of place that you should not even want to be involved in any of them. How much better to use your mouth to thank God for his amazing love and blessings. You see, it is absolutely certain that there is no inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ for any immoral, impure, or greedy person. So do not be deceived by the empty platitudes of those who say that everyone will go to heaven. Such deception hides the truth that God's anger will come on the disobedient. This is why you are not to align yourself with those who live in such ways. Yes, you lived in darkness in your old life, but now you are the children of light, living in the one who is the light. So live as children who walk in the light of God's truth. What is the evidence of such a walk? That you express God's goodness, righteousness, and truth. That you know what to do to please him. You cannot compromise. have absolutely nothing to do with the things God regards as darkness. These things are sinful and produce nothing good in your lives. You should expose sin, not walk in it. It should be shameful for you even to talk about the things disobedient people do, often in secret. The time will come when everything will be exposed by the light, even the things people have tried to hide. By its very nature, light exposes things, and there should be nothing in your lives that you would be ashamed of when everything is exposed. Such a time will come, which is why we are told, it is time to wake up if you are asleep spiritually. Rise up from a life of dead works, and Christ will shine on you with his light. This causes you to realize that you will have to be very careful about the way you live, to be wise, not foolish. Make use of every opportunity to please God by the way you live, especially as there is so much evil in the world around you. How much better to understand what God wants of you than to live in a sinful, foolish manner, and so on. It is like a sermon, isn't it? When it's sort of not put in a biblical way, if you understand what I mean, but in the way in which we talk today. So praise God, because Christ is in you. That spirit of faith is within you. Are you releasing it every day over your life? Remember what you were taught at camp. Release a spirit of holiness every morning. Release a spirit of faith every day. Release a spirit of love every day. Release a spirit of the fear of the Lord in you every day. Release it, because God has given you the authority to loose on earth what is loose from heaven. And from heaven, the Holy Spirit has come to live in you. Amen. Let's get to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, Father, I thank you. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Thank him that he's given you the Spirit. Thank him that he lives within you. Thank him that he's got a plan and purpose for your life. Thank him that he has a place for you in the body of Christ. He's got a purpose for you in the body of Christ. Thank him that he expects you to be responsible. Now, come on, you just pray over your life. Speak that over your life now. Lord, I want to live in a responsible manner. I want to fulfill the responsibilities that you have given me in a responsible way. Hallelujah. I don't want to be found lacking. I don't want to be found wanting, Lord. I don't want to ignore my responsibilities. I don't want to close my eyes to those responsibilities. Thank you that you have made me responsible for the others in the group to which I belong, in the ministry groups to which I belong, the others that you placed around me in the body of Christ. Thank you that I have a responsibility to those that lead me, to those who disciple me, to those who help me. And Lord, I want to fulfill my responsibility to them, to love them, to pray for them, to be submissive to them, to make their job an easy one, to lead me. I want to do all that your scripture says. Lord, I want to be responsible in saying no to sin, in no to the worldliness that is all around me, so that your life and your love and your power can flow through me. Lord, I want to be responsible in the exercise of faith, that I don't live in a way that I trust myself, but I live in a way where I trust you and I trust Christ in me. And Lord, I get up even when I feel weak, even when I feel incompetent. I'm not going to give in. I'm going to get up. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to fulfill everything that you called me to do. And I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor. I give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Sata parazata parazitoba. Barata parazataria leto bakarazitoba. Oh, mama razata parazito di sarato bakarazito di santuma. Oh, hallelujah. Korazatuba. Come on. Let's pray up a storm here for the next couple of minutes. Oh, papa razata parazitoba. Oh, papa razata parazitoba. Barata parazataria leto bakarazitoba. Barata parazataria leto bakarazitoba. Busta karazatari elera bakarazito di sanduma. Barata parazatari eleto bakarazito. Basta karazatari elera bakarazito di sanduma. Busta karazatari elera bakarazito. Busta karazala bazuto di zatuma. Barata parazato bakarazito. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to say to the Lord, Lord, I want all the areas in the body of which you've made me a part, I want them all to prosper. Now, pray for your life group to prosper. Lord, I want prosperity in that life group. I want everybody to prosper. Not just myself, Lord, but you made me responsible for the others in the group. I have a responsibility to them. Lord, I want that life group to prosper. We're going to prosper this autumn like never before. I'm not going to wish I was in some other group. I'm not going to want to relate to others. You put me there, and I'm going to relate there, and I'm going to love those people. I'm going to let myself be loved by them. I'm going to fulfill my responsibility to pray for them, to relate to them. That, Lord, I believe you're going to draw us together into a unity. Hallelujah. So that you can work through us. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me responsibility to fulfill whatever activities that life group is involved in. Thank you, Lord, that I have a part in that, and I praise you. Come on, pray it over your life. Pray it over your life. Thank God that you're not an opter out, but you opt in. Hallelujah. You opt in because God has put you in. He's put you in the body. He's put you in the place that you're in the body. Hallelujah. If you're someone that's had that attitude, I don't want to get too involved, then ask God to forgive you, because that attitude is sin. And God doesn't want you to have that kind of negative attitude. He wants to use you to the full. That's why he lives within you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, those of you that are in children's ministry or young people's ministry or whatever it is, whatever your area of ministry and outreach, just pray right now, Lord, I want to be responsible. I want to treat my responsibilities so seriously so that I'm living the life that can be an example to the others for whom I'm responsible. Because, Lord, I might be able to hide things from others, but I can't hide anything from you. And thank you, as you say, everything is going to be revealed. Everything is going to come out into the light. I don't want anything shameful in my life, Lord. I want to walk in the light as a child of light, filled with light. That your light will shine before men, that they will see my good works and give glory to the Father in heaven as a result. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Now just lift your hands once more and thank the Lord that you have the anointing. You have the anointing of the Holy One. That anointing abides, it remains. Praise God. Thank him that he's made you a responsible believer, a responsible member of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We want to be like those servants who, when you call us to account for the way in which we have fulfilled our responsibilities, that you say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.